As most of us are Easter veterans, we know what this weekend is about. And this Sunday, we anticipate engaging in a rich historical responsive refrain, He is risen indeed. But I wonder if the church would have been equally as served by a responsive Good Friday refrain echoing through history, He was crucified indeed. Because a lot of us, we tend to run past the cross to the tomb, and we see again it's empty year after year, and we run on with our lives. You cannot make too much of the cross of Christ. Most of us have heard through the years in our church experience that the Old Testament previewed through prophecies that a way to God would be made clear for us through a once-for-all definitive act. Ron read to us earlier familiar words from Isaiah 700 years before the fact, but spoken 700 years previously as if in the present moment. So certain was this going to be. Prophets weren't clear on how. Peter talks about that in his first epistle. The prophets didn't know how as to means, but they knew why as to cause. They knew why a clear way to God was needed. And there's a very vivid picture of the why in an Old Testament prophecy. And I've been giving some thought to it for the last few months, and tonight seems a good night to share those thoughts with you. The picture for why the cross in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. I will forgive you for not having read Zechariah this week before you came here. It's the sticky pages in your Bible. It's the part of your Bible app that you've never scrolled through. Zechariah was a prophet. And as happened with Old Testament prophets, he was given a vision from God, which is the way that God often communicated with his prophets. We would almost think of it sort of like a dream sequence where God is showing him something. Sometimes it pertained to the present, sometimes it pertained to the future. In Zechariah's vision that I'm going to share with you, it pertained to both the present and what was to come. And what God communicated to this particular Old Testament prophet is the why. Why a clear way to God through a once-for-all definitive act was needed. Here's what Zechariah saw. I'll read it to you. It's Zechariah chapter 3. Then he, that is God, showed me, Zechariah, Joshua the high priest. The high priest during the life of Zechariah was a priest named Joshua. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this," meaning Joshua, is not this a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the word for filth is the word for excrement. This is what he has all over himself. It's a very graphic, gross picture. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I've taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." Vestments are the particular clothing that a priest wears. And I said, Zechariah, who's in the gallery watching this, I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua, this high priest, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are a sign. Behold, I will bring my servant, the branch. And behold, on the stone that I've set before Joshua, I will engrave its inscription, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day." Don't miss that. "I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day through this servant called the branch." Here is why the cross. according to Zechariah. Here's the gospel according to Zechariah. Joshua would have been, in that day and time, the holiest man in that community, being the high priest. And when Zechariah says in his vision that he sees Joshua in a place with the angel of the Lord there, what he's talking about is that Zechariah is seeing Joshua performing his once a year task that was to enter the Holy of Holies, the innermost part of the temple where only the high priest could go one day during the year and make atonement for his own sin and the sins of the priests and the sins of the whole nation, the people who were all watching this, by the way. It was a public ceremony, even though they could not see the high priest go inside. They couldn't see him inside the Holy of Holies, but they could see him going in and coming out. So Zechariah is getting a real privilege here. He's getting to see inside. Zechariah is a prophet. He's not a priest. And only the high priest got to go inside. So Zechariah is getting to see inside. And the high priest, on this one day on the Jewish calendar, it's called Yom Kippur. It's the Day of Atonement. You've read about it if you've read Leviticus 16. On that day only could the Holy of Holies be entered, this innermost place in the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was set and the visible presence of God over the seat of this Ark of the Covenant. On that one specific day, one specific man could enter that one specific place. This is what Zechariah is getting to watch. The high priest actually went in there three times that day. He would go in once with an animal sacrifice to offer for his own sin. He would go in again to offer an animal sacrifice for the priest's sins. He would go in a third time, same thing, for the sins of the entire nation, the people of God. Before he went in each time, he had to take a full bath. So three times he's going in and coming out. Three times he has to bathe from head to toe, and he has to change his vestments, those priestly garments. And he has to change them each time, and they are brand new, clean, white linen. And that the people could watch. It happened behind a thin screen, all this ritual bathing and putting on the new vestments, the clean garments. It was important they saw this, because who was Joshua? Who was every high priest? He was the representative of the people on this high holy day on their calendar. And they knew that their high priest had just spent the week before. There was a whole week of preparation. And he had just spent that week in seclusion, lest he accidentally touch anything that would make him unclean. And they knew that the night before this particular day, he didn't sleep. He spent the entire night praying and reading scripture to purify his soul. It was all very involved, very meticulous, very well orchestrated, and perfectly executed. Except Zechariah is given this vision of the unthinkable. Here is Joshua, where he is supposed to be on the Day of Atonement, but nothing else is right. He's covered in excrement. I can't begin to describe for you the horror that would stoke in the heart of an observant Jew. In fact, there's no way that's possible for that to even happen. It's not even remotely accessible to the worst high priest who's ever been couldn't even conceive of going there. So here in this vision, Joshua, who is the representative of the people, he's representing himself, he's representing the whole priestly community, is representing everybody. He's anything but clean. And it's the very thing he has to be. The Hebrew is graphic. Furthermore, to add insult, Satan has shown up. He's opportunistic, and he's going to capitalize on this and lodge accusations. I'm going to be deliberately understated here when I say this was not good. Right? What Zechariah is seeing. So that's what he's seeing, but what is he being shown? The why. Why it had to be that there had to come a once for all definitive work needed to clear our way to God. What Zechariah is being shown is that even the holiest person in that community wasn't holy enough. What Zechariah is being shown is that God sees our hearts for what they really are, and that's what's in our hearts. Our hearts are full of it. Zechariah was being shown, no matter what we do to commend ourselves to God, we are in reality unfit for His presence. And that's a big problem. Something has to happen. Well, in the vision, here's what happens. I read it to you. The angel of the Lord says to those standing, remove the filthy garments from Joshua. And then He says to Joshua, hey, I've taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments. And I love then Zechariah over here in the corner says, hey, and let a turban be put on him that's clean. You know why he says that? He's saying, Lord, if this guy can't represent us, we don't have a prayer. So make extra sure, please, Lord, that he's clean. Please. Lavish your grace on this man so he can stand in our way for us. And that happens. He gets that too. It's all God's doing. But God signals in the vision that that's going to be good, but it's not going to be enough. God signals that He must do more besides for Joshua and for everybody else. And so He says, I will bring my servant the branch, and I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day. How does that happen? Centuries later, you get another Joshua. You realize that the Hebrew form of the name Jesus is the same as this high priest's name in Zechariah. Yeshua. Centuries later, another Joshua, here called the branch, would do the unthinkable. He would hang from wood in a cursed way. He would stage his own day of atonement, a once for all day of atonement that would remove our sin in a single day through a definitive act of self-substitution. And he too would have a week of preparation beforehand. He too, on the night before, didn't sleep. But whereas Zechariah's Joshua at least had a prophet and others watching this, cheering for him, pleading to God for him, the next Yeshua experienced nearly everyone he loved betraying, abandoning, denying him, and he even suffered the abandonment of God. When he in those hours stood before God on our behalf, he didn't get pure vestments. In fact, he got stripped of the only garment he had. He got beaten by idiots. He was killed naked, humiliatingly. For that matter, his bath was human spit from all those cursing him and crying out for his crucifixion and spitting on him. In the New Testament, we know the words, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, the idea is through him, we can become the righteousness of God. Jesus was clothed, as it were, in our sin. He didn't become sin in the sense of, you know, you sometimes hear people say, he became sin, and that's reading it too woodenly. What Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 5:21, which I just quoted for you, is that he was treated as if he was guilty of everything that is possibly wrong. Everything that is negligent, everything that is disordered in this world was put on him. He was treated for those hours as if he was guilty. He was still sinless in his person and in his experience, but he was treated as if he was the epitome of sinfulness. He was treated as if he was like Joshua in the vision of Zechariah, wearing all this filth. He took our place as substitute. Because you and I need more than just a representative. A representative only goes so far. He took our place as substitute to suffer the penalty that we merit for our rebellion, which we've all participated in, a rebellion against God, started in the original garden. He put himself in the place of his own wrath. He being God. So that what we get in the end, you know how the scripture ends? Revelation 19 around there? There's an echo of Zechariah 3, and now it's applied to the church. In Revelation 19 it says, let us rejoice and be glad. Fine linen is given to us to wear in the presence of God. Compliments of Jesus Christ. It's God's way to have our way to Him cleared once and for all through Christ. Thanks be to God. He was crucified. He was crucified indeed.